Be seated and take your Bible, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. We're working our way through the Proverbs this afternoon in the 28th Proverb. We're looking at instruction in proper behavior. It'll be interesting when we look at the notes that how many of these thoughts in this proverb relate to what we see happening in the world today. And it'll help us to realize that we have God foretelling us what we can anticipate when certain things are in place and what we can do about it in order that we might glorify Him and see Him use us to be a light in this world. In verse number 1, we see point 1, the freedom of righteousness. The wicked flee where no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You see, the conscience of a wicked person makes him insecure, thus he's always looking over his shoulder. On the other hand, the righteous are confident as a young lion. The righteous are undismayed in the presence of danger. Now, we may sense the presence of danger, but we have our confidence in the Lord, and we have a boldness in the Lord that we wouldn't have otherwise. The unrighteous are always looking over their shoulder, even when there is no danger. Point 2, conscience of the righteous is at rest since they know that God is on their side. And 3, whatever happens, they know that they are safe in the everlasting arms of Jesus. So the wicked flee where no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. In verse 2, we see the stability that's found in political leadership. Verse 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Or it could be read this way. When a land transgress, it has many rulers. There's an instability because of the wickedness that's going on. So for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. So looking at the stability of political leadership, that stability is found in the righteous living of the leaders that rule the people. And secondly, those in leadership that have godly understanding will be much more stable than those who do not. Now, can you see this in our present administration? How many major offices have changed hands in the period that he has been in office? I'll move on. Point 3, the contrast between stable and unstable political leadership. Verse 3, a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain that leaveth no food. Those who depend on government to sustain them are always looking out for themselves and care very little for other people. Can you see this mentality in our government and those that it sustains? Point B, unstable government leadership places little emphasis on keeping the law. They will quickly violate the law of the land for their own gain, and they will praise those who join in their lawlessness. Look at verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. However, on the other hand, point C, those who strive to obey the laws of the land strive to expose and stop the lawless. Verse 4, but such as keep the law contend with the wicked and with the lawless. We are called of God to be a light in a dark world. We do that by living right, obeying the laws of the land, and doing what we can legally and peacefully to remove those who do not from office. We're coming up on an important time in November where we have to make some hard choices. I don't see a hard choice here, to be honest with you. I know the way I'm going to vote. I can't say it from the pulpit, but I know how I'm going to vote. And I know who I'm not going to vote for. But we see that unstable government and lawless government, when it rules, the wicked are praised for their lawlessness. But as believers, we are to contend against those. We're to speak out against it. Point D, those who are spiritually blind see nothing wrong in their wrongdoing, while those who strive to abide by God's law understand what's really going on. Look at verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. We can look and we can see. One of the things that I have asked myself repeatedly is, does not the present administration realize that the laws that they're trying to place into position that we have to live by is going to radically affect their children and their grandchildren? Do they not see the havoc that they are going to be wreaking for those that will follow them in their ancestry? It's like they're blind to it. They have an agenda. They have a plan. And they're going to get their plan out, and they don't care what the ramifications are going to be. And it's amazing what's going on in government. And so we see this. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Point E, it's better to live godly in an ungodly environment than to set oneself out to be rich and live in perversion to become wealthy. Verse 6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he is rich. Again, our society, how many times have people been caught, not necessarily convicted, not necessarily punished, but have been caught red-handed, breaking the law in order to become wealthy? It's not been too many years back that there was a major upheaval in those that regulated and controlled mortgages and the banks, that we saw such havoc wreak because of the crookedness and the wickedness. That filters down to the common man. Many were impacted by it. Many were affected by it. But we have no fear of that happening to us, that we would pervert society and pervert the ways of others and damage other people's lives if we seek after God. And we let God make us as rich as He wants us to be or as poor as He wants us to be. And so we find here that the lawless are amazingly stupid and amazingly blind and amazingly corrupt, and they have amazing impact on the world around them. So it's better to live godly in an ungodly environment than to set oneself out to be rich and live in perversion to become wealthy. We see under that point, verse 7, whosoever keeps the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion to riotous men shameth his father. Those who keep the law will be far greater blessed than those who are rich but evil. Verse 8, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him, that it will pity the poor. The word usury here is a word for unfair interest rates. We see that. We've seen that in many different ways, different areas. Well, we see that point two, those who choose character over ill-gotten cash will have a better ending. In verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Those who willfully ignore helping those they should be helping is detestable in the sight of God. Point 4, verse 10, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. Those who promote godless practices will be destroyed by their own ungodliness. Now, folks, this is God's Word. It's clear. Whether we believe it or not, this is exactly how it's going to play out. And we know where America's heading. If we continue down the path we're going, we know where America's going to end up. So you and I have an opportunity and an obligation to our God to live righteously and speak out for righteousness. And trust our God to turn this around. He can turn it around. He can bring a great spiritual awakening. And we need to pray that way. We don't need to pray, Lord, if you can, because He can. We need to pray, Lord, do this. If we ask anything for His glory and in His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. That's what 1 John tells us. So when we're asking God to bring about a spiritual awakening in the world, we know we're asking God for something that is pleasing to His will. And we need to pray that way. We need to be diligent in praying for America, for the world, for the things that are happening, for the evil that's going on, the wickedness. We need to pray that God will help us to see leaders. If we could get some leaders in Washington with some character and some backbone and some godly principles, we could have an impact in the world for good. So we're not talking of just another election for somebody to be in office for 4 years or 8 years. We're talking about a change taking place. And we have an awesome opportunity to be much in prayer for our nation. And we have an awesome opportunity to do what we can to live righteously to bring about this change. The verse has been in the bulletin for several Sundays now. My people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear their prayer, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's an open opportunity for you and me. So we find here, it's better to live godly in an ungodly environment than to set oneself out to be rich and live in perversion to become wealthy. Verse number 15. As a roaring lion and as a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. We're talking about the contrast between stable and unstable political leadership. Verse 15.F, the wicked ruling the poor is a formula for disaster. Verse 16, the prince that doesn't have understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. Point G, the unwise ruler bring his people into great oppression. That's what we're living in America now. Our present administration has no understanding. Our present administration is being led by the seat of their pants, by what's popular, what pleases them, but what will bring them the most gain. And there's some running to replace them that have the same mentality and practice. And we must oppose that. We must take a stand for what we believe to be the right thing to do. And as believers, we can, by God's grace, do so. So we see in verse 3, to 10, and 15, and 16, the contrast between stable and unstable political leadership. Point 4, the contrast between the godly and the ungodly. In verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. So we see in verse 11, the blinded rich, blinded by his wealth, versus those without wealth. The rich are blinded by their own pride-filled financial security. Point 2, the person who has little earthly wealth, yet has godly understanding, sees through the false security of the self-blinded rich. How many people have we known in the last decade who were rich beyond compare and their wealth was their destruction? Or it was not satisfying to them. It didn't bring them the happiness they were looking for. So they went looking in other areas and ended up killing themselves by their own wicked practices or by suicide. Yet there's that godly, unrich man out there who sees that and understands that and doesn't desire to be a part of that, the contrast between the godly and the ungodly. Oh, money's great. It's great to have money. It's great to be able to spend money. It's great to be able to pay your bills on time. It's great to be able to put groceries in the house and feed the family. It's great to have the money to fix the car when it breaks down. But if wealth is going to destroy us, and we're going to get it by corrupt methods, then it's going to be a disaster in our lives. So we need to understand that the blinded rich, blinded by their wealth, versus those that have little or no wealth. And godliness is what really ultimately rules in this matter. Verse 12 through 14. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. Notice that, when righteous men do rejoice. Well, righteous men aren't going to rejoice unless there's righteousness going on. When the righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So we see here in verse 12 through 14, the righteous versus the wicked, point B. Verse 12, the first part of the verse, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to all people. Point two, the person who has little earthly wealth, yet has godly understanding, sees through the false security of the self-rich. Point B, two, wickedness brings a nation to ruin. Three, those who will not repent and confess their sin will not experience God's mercy, while the repentant sinner will have the mercy of God on them throughout eternity. Point four, those who have the fear of God will enjoy happiness in life, and the rebel against God will fall by his own rebellion and lack of submission to God. Then point number five, God's statement about the end of the wicked and the righteous. In verse 17, a man that doeth violence to the blood of any man shall flee to the pit, let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. So we see, first of all, that the violent shall be destroyed by their own violence. Look at the last part of verse 18. He that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. The violent shall be destroyed by their own violence. And again, we're seeing this happen. Those who are, by violent methods, protesting what they believe to be unjust behavior on the part of those in authority, are not bringing about good results to themselves. They're bringing about corrupt results to themselves. Oh, they're wreaking havoc and destroying a lot along the way, but they're not bringing lasting positive results. Point B, the upright shall be protected by the Lord. Verse 18a. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. So as we walk uprightly, as we live for the Lord, as we try to serve Him and be what He has called us to be, we don't need to fear what's going on around us. We need to cry out to God because of what's going on around us. We need to pray to the Lord for victory and help in these uncertain times. Verse 19 and 20, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Point C, those who understand the meaning of hard work shall not go without, while the foolish shall have nothing to show for their foolishness but emptiness. Verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Point D, one's allegiance must be to God, not man, or man-made organizations, else the one may be tempted along the way to do wrong. Verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. In the NLT, point E, the covetous shall be consumed by their own covetousness. Those who haste to be rich, covetous. Verse number 23, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. Or the NLT states it this way, in the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Verse 24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it's no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Point G, disrespect of one's parents is not good and will cost more than that disrespectful person wanted to pay. Verse 25 and 26, we see a contrast of the proud and the humble. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And then verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Compassion on others results in our needs being met. Now there's just a brief summary here in the last verse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. So the first thing we see in the summary is point A, the wicked and the righteous cannot dwell together peaceably or productively. That's what's happening in America. We're trying to live for right. We're trying to do what's right. The evil of the world is trying to do their thing. We're trying to promote what we believe to be the right thing. And we're just seeing America falling apart. And many of the things that are being done by our present administration are just wrong. They're wrong. They're evil. The way our American people are being treated. The deals that are being made with foreign powers. We're being sold down the river very quickly. I just pray we can make it till the next election. And the one who follows the pattern of the present administration is not elected. We've got to see change take place. We've got to. We just cannot continue down this corrupt path and it not destroy us, because the righteous and the ungodly cannot dwell together peaceably or productively. And if the unrighteous continue to rule and reign and they gain more power, they will come after us. They will try to close the doors of our church. They'll try to stop us from promoting the gospel. Some of you weren't here Wednesday night, but our prospective missionary, or our missionary, was supporting Heather Hart, wanting to go to Russia. But as of last Thursday, Russia passed a new law. And that law states that anyone who promotes their religious belief is considered in the realm of terrorism. And it's a very loose law, with anyone's interpreting it the way they want. That's what's going to happen in America if we don't see God's people join together and pray for a return of America to godliness. Well, the second thing we see, verse 28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. Point B, the wicked drive people into hiding. And unfortunately, that's happened to us. The wickedness of America has driven Christians into hiding. Well, there's just no hope. There's nothing we can do. Nothing's going to change. I'm only one person. I can't do anything. So we're hiding, waiting for the Lord to come back. That's not what God wants us to do. You don't hide a light in darkness. You put it out so you can see. So you can see in the darkness. We're living in spiritual darkness in the world. We need to let our spiritual lights be shining as brightly as we possibly can in as many places as God gives us opportunity. And point C, verse 28b, but when they perish, the righteous increase. So, if righteousness is going to abound, wickedness has to subside. Point C, where there is little wickedness, godliness can flourish. Our hope is in the Lord. It's not in the next election. But God can move in the next election in answer to the prayers of God's people. We know for sure by their own testimony that one of the candidates running for the high office is a believer. We know that. And it wasn't by chance that he was selected to run. So we need to be praying. We need to be praying and promoting. Help us, Lord, to be your people, to take a stand for what's right, to do what's right, to live right, and not be ashamed of it or afraid of it. Not everybody's going to like it. And when we go against the current trend, we know that we're going to be rowing upstream, and it will be harder. But right now, Lord, with the evil in our world and the wickedness that's going on, that's what you've called us to do. So help us to be brave witnesses and bold believers. Help us to love the lost, to pray for them, to talk to them. May they see Christ in us. Help us not to be belligerent and fighting and evil in the things we say or do. But may we demonstrate Christ-likeness to the world. Because when He is lifted up, you tell us all will be drawn to Him. Help us to lift Him up in our homes, in our personal lives, where we work, where we shop. with the people that we visit with. Help us, Lord. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.